gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's
The broadcast starts now. Live from the Northern Resistance here, up in the frozen tundra of Minnesota. Hope you're getting me here loud and clear. Let's check and see. Let me know if you can hear me okay. I always give I try to give people time enough to get on, because if I start giving content right when I get on, nobody's on there. Nobody's listening to it. There's like two people on there. So I try to give it a lag of about 10 minutes in order for people to get kind of on there and get ready. So that's the purpose behind that. So a lot of times I'll do a lot of chit chat in the beginning, or I'll play some hymns in the beginning and things like that. Because of that, Mark Everson asked me, is Brother Paul a tent maker like the Apostle Paul? Well, let's analyze that. Was the Apostle Paul a tent maker everywhere he went? No, he was not. Sometimes he was, and for the first 5 years of this ministry, I was a tent maker, and I did until the church. See, I thought that was low. Is the audio low? Sounded good, but could be louder. Let's see. Okay, it's too low. All right, I thought it was. There's somebody put this. I don't know if Luke did this or what. Let me find out. Let me have him check on this here, okay? We'll try to get it louder. I turned up the... Hold on a second. Okay, let's see. I'm going to have Luke check that. There's like a governor on this. I can turn the monitor up. I know, but I don't know if it's going to turn this up. I'm not sure. So I have to find out if that's going to turn that up or not. I don't know for sure. New system. So let me see what happens here. Always something, man, I'll tell you. But hang on a second. But you asked me about the tent maker thing. And let me say this to you, that I do believe there's a time to do that, but it's not always. The Bible says that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. The Apostle Paul was an apostle. He was set forth to be an example to the world of what was going to happen. So when I needed to and when I had time to, I worked the first 5 years of this ministry when we started this church from scratch. But after we got going, we stepped out by faith after 5 years and said, you know, we're going to serve the Lord full time. And that's what we're going to do. So I'm trying to figure out, anyway, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this audio here. We're going to try to find that out here and find out why it's so low. We'll see what happens here. Yeah, it's coming in clear, but it should be louder. And I could tell with this, there was like a, I don't know, there's some kind of governor or something on it. I don't know what the deal is, but I could tell that it's not loud like it should be. So I don't know what Luke's doing with it yet, but I'll find out here. But I'm glad you can hear me at least. Might need to crank it up all the way. I don't see why I would have to crank that up all the way. I shouldn't have to do that, really. Oh, that's the headphone monitor right there. All right. I don't know if this thing matters at all. But anyway, let's see. Oh, there we go. Now we're louder. How do we come in now? Looks like that one microphone one was down a little bit, and I just turned that up. So let me know if that's coming in louder now. We'll do a test there. All right. Let's see. Okay. All right, so is it louder? Let me know if it's coming in louder there. It looks like it is. I just turned it up, so I might just blast you guys out here. But anyway, it'll be nice and loud, and you can hear it. All right, good and loud. Let's go. Okay, so you asked that question about that. So basically, I do believe there's a time for that. And actually, when we get into church, planting another church, which, Lord willing, sometime in the future will happen, we will, when we ordain a man, he will be sent out, and, well, first of all, we'll start the work from here, wherever God leads us to, and then as I'm training men for the ministry, then we will pass them along, or we'll ordain them, and then we will help them with the work that's there, but they will be working until that church can be self-sufficient on its own. And, or until they can be, until the Lord allows them to be able to not work a full-time job and be full-time in the ministry. But that's the same thing we did here. I worked for the first 5 years. So anyway, that's what we do. And by the way, thank you for those that have sent in donations. Yesterday we had four of them come in. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Every bit helps, and I'm very grateful for that, that people would think about us, praise the Lord, and God has blessed us and uses those things to help take care of our needs and everything else like that. So we thank the Lord for that. All right, anyway, wow, what a bunch of crazy stuff going on in the world today. This first one I'm going to bring you here in a few minutes is just unbelievable. my goodness. I was just like taken by this, aback by this. The audacity of man to want to live in his flesh forever. And it's the same stuff, ye shall be as gods, that we've talked about, but it's even more so now. It's even more so now, you know, that in this, oh my goodness, in what's going on here, because this man has boldly come out, all right? He has boldly come out.
Will say his very last words, but...
Okay, hang on. I'm going to reset this. Oh, here it is. I want you to hear this. Hang on. Here we go.
Hello, I am the future. I am the beginning of Beta 2.0. On the 10th of October 2019, Peter 1.0 will say his very last words. But by then, I will be fully operational and I will come online.
Wow. So, if you catch that, what he just said was that Peter 1.0 said his last words. And Peter 2.0 is coming online. This is the first cyborg. Look, listen to this. A terminally ill scientist who is dying from a muscle-wasting disease has taken the final steps to become the world's first full cyborg. Dr. Peter Scott Morgan, 61, was diagnosed with motor neuron disease 2 years ago. But instead of accepting his fate, he decided to challenge what it meant to be human. Now, do you see this? Challenge what it meant to be human. That's where we're at today, right? Challenging what it means to be human. God is the one that set the boundaries of man. God has set the boundaries of man. But what has man done? Sought out many evil inventions. All right? And this is what's going on with this man. He wants, look, he doesn't want to live by what's wrong with him. He wants some fix. Some fix in the flesh. Dr. Peter Scott Morgan, 61, was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. He said he wanted to push the boundaries of what science can achieve, so decided to extend his life and become fully robotic, known as Peter 2.0. Oh my. I mean, we're here. When I say we're here, I mean we're here. The world-renowned roboticist has already undergone a series of incredibly complex and risky operations during his journey. This has included developing a remarkably lifelike avatar of his face before he lost any muscle. So he made an avatar of himself. And he made an avatar of himself so he could transform. I mean, it's creepy. It sounds like something out of a sci-fi movie. It sounds creepy. Very, very creepy. Listen to this. The avatar is designed to respond using artificial intelligent body language, and he has also explored eye-tracking technology to enable him to control multiple computers using only his eyes. And this week, he announced the final procedure in his transition. I mean, what he really means in his transformation, which he's going to say. And this week, he announced the final procedure in his transition into a robot where he traded his voice for potentially decades of life. So he traded his voice. Listen to this. He underwent a largectomy. Laryngectomy, sorry. Meaning he lost his physical voice, but in doing so, he will avoid the added danger of saliva potentially entering his lungs due to his condition. Dr. Scott Morgan labeled this final procedure as the end of Peter 1.0. With a post this week on Twitter, he wrote, "This is my last post as Peter 1.0. Tomorrow, Thursday, 10:10. That number 10 stands for the law, right? See, God has a law for his creation. God has a law for his creation, and he set the order down. And man wants to defy that law. He wants to defy God's law. He doesn't want to be subject to God. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to transform. And you're going to see this word, and I'm going to show it to you in the King James Bible. It's right here. There's only two ways to be transformed. The first way is by the Holy Spirit and by salvation through Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, here's the second way. This is the bad way. This is Satan's artificial way. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Transhumanism, whose end shall be according to their works. They want to be transformed in the flesh. You know, I'm starting to learn something in my young old age. I say young old age because I'm 42. My birthday is November 2nd. I'm going to be 43 years old. Yep. I know it's hard to believe, for me anyway, that I'm going to be 43 years old. Very hard for me to believe. You know, I'm coming to grips with that, man, I'm not 25 anymore. You know, and it's not that old, I understand, but still it's like it's sobering for me to think about that, well, your life is passing you by. You know what I mean? You're getting older. So that it's a lot to think about. It really is. But here's the thing. I'm starting to learn that there's this flesh, and you got to understand, like, I've been pretty healthy my whole life in that sense, never really been very sick or anything like that, but when depression and anxiety and things like that came upon me, it shows you the frailty of the flesh. God is showing us through that. Those infirmities of the flesh, why you don't want to live here forever. You don't want to live in this body forever. You don't want to live in this body forever. Because this body is failing. Every day it's failing. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody either, but I'm just saying that every day is one step closer to eternity. And our bodies are failing, and Christ is all that we have. And Christ has to be what we're looking for. The transformation that we are looking for we're looking for the translation, they're looking for the transformation. And I, at 42, I'm realizing that when I get it, you know, that I've never really had to serve God with any infirmities like that. I've never had to do that. But now I do. And I have to learn to trust Christ through those infirmities of my flesh and of my mind. So I would rather not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what's that first verse? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, what are they going to throw at us? Well, if you just inject this into your DNA, if you just do this, then hey, guess what? You know, you're going to be fine. Oh, you got mental health problems? You got these problems? Well, you got depression? Well, let us just fix your DNA. We'll write it right out of there for you. But you know what? I don't want that. I want what Christ has for me. And if I have to suffer through things for the glory of God, then we need to suffer through things for the glory of God. Because our life that he gives us is eternal, not temporal. And that this life is going to fade away. God has set these tabernacles because of sin, that is, that they will fail. Because sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So he's going to transform, he says. And this is the people that Satan is going to... Listen, these are the ones that Satan is going to attract. So what you're thinking is, you know, the mark of the beast, everybody's going to get lined up like cattle, and if they don't do it, off with their head. And no. People are going to have infirmities and sickness, and Satan's going to offer them godhood. That's what he's going to offer them. And those that are not saved, they're going to take it. Those that are not saved, because even if it were possible, even the elect would be fooled. It's not possible. We can see through those things. So suffer it to be so now, my friends, that whatever you go through in this life, that you chalk it up to dung, that you may win Christ. That we may be found in him, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. And that we be willing to lay off this tabernacle and say, you know what, Lord, if it's so, then I'm gone. But we're not going to bow down to the image. Throw us in the furnace, but we don't want life forever in this flesh. We have a hope that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. So remember that as we see these things. And I guess that's one of the lessons that God is teaching me through all of these things, that we love this life way too much. We love this world way too much. We just do. We love it way too much. We love this world way too much. God help us. You know what? God sends us afflictions so we don't love the world. There's a purpose in afflictions. It is that God would be glorified. Dr. Scott Morgan of Turquoise Divan has throughout his career been granted unparalleled confidential access to government organizations, banks, and major corporations. Oh, really? Well, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Huh. Well, what do you know? Dr. Scott's a government op. He has been using this scientific expertise. He has been using his this scientific expertise to work with cutting edge technology experts to become Peter 2.0. Speaking of his transition, he said, "I'm about to be turned into Peter 2.0. And when I say Peter 2.0, I mean a cyborg." Okay. Okay, that's weird. Is anybody else weirded out by that? I am. I'm weirded out by that. That's weird. "I'm scheduled to become the world's very first. Oh, listen to this. He says, "And when I say cyborg, I don't just mean any old cyborg." Well, no, as if there is any old cyborg. If there was, I wouldn't be that one. You understand, but by far the most advanced human cybernetic organism ever created in 13.8 billion years. That's what he's saying. Let's see here. Let me see here. This would. So, in other words, what he is saying, is that he's going to transform, like, into this cyborg. He's going to become this cyborg. Do you understand that? That's what he wants to do. And it's really crazy, but it's really true. Look what he says here. In 13.8 billion years. This is the, this, what is he saying to you? He is saying that this is evolution. This is evolving. This is evolving. Right? That's what it is. "Almost everything about me is going to be irreversibly changed, body and brain." Okay. And by the way, this, he's already made somewhat of a transformation because this is his husband. I don't want to know. "It goes without saying that all my physical interaction with the world will become robotic, and naturally my existing, listen to this, my existing five senses are going to be enhanced. But far more importantly, part of my brain and all my external persona will soon be electronic, totally synthetic." Wow. So, "From then on, I'll be part hardware, part wetware, part digital, part analog. And I won't stop there. I've got more upgrades in progress than Microsoft. Mine isn't just a version change. It's a metamorphosis. Oh, boy. Yeah. Scary stuff, man. Scary stuff. Let's see. From then on, I'll be part hardware. I don't know what wetware is. Anybody know what wetware is? I don't know what that is. Sounds gross. Sounds gross. The scientist has also been exploring eye-tracking technology to enable him to control multiple computers using just his eyes, among other things. This would mean he could control his own electronic bed and a hoist to help him move. The eye-tracking technology means that he could no longer wear contact lenses, and so he has undergone laser eye surgery to enable him to have perfect vision at 70 centimeters, the distance from his computer screen. The scientist also has a remarkable top-end wheelchair. The scientist, they call him. Here's his wheelchair, which he said on Twitter is brilliantly engineered and allows him to stand, lie flat, and go fast. Okay, so why does this remind me of this? Let's see, where is this?
Writing's not that easy.
Not this.
But Grammarly can help. This sentence is grammatically correct.
I don't know who you are, but you saved our lives.
We're Autobots. We're from Cybertron, a planet far from Earth.
Another planet? That's awesome.
Those who tried to harm you are called Decepticons. We must stop them before they destroy your world.
Can we help?
We are the only ones who can stop the Decepticons.
But my son Spike and I know more about Earth than you do.
Maybe you can help us.
Sorry, it just reminds me of that, right? The Transformers. And I grew up watching that, right? And I had no idea that this guy was going to turn into one. I had no idea you could even turn into one. Right? But he did. But you know something? Let's see if I can find that. Let me pull this over here. Oh, wait. Let me pull this over here. This was kind of foretold about. Let's see. I mean, they've been kind of setting man up for this. Let's see if I can find it. There's always predictive programming in this stuff. But I do remember, and I don't see it on here. Oh, yeah, and the AllSpark. Yeah, it was highly demonic. And, like, the AllSpark is Kabbalistic, right? It's the spark, the AllSpark, it's Kabbalistic. So think about this, okay? This human being, Spike, he gets injured in this Autobot war, right? That goes on between the Autobots and the Decepticons, right? So I'm just trying, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but when I was a kid, that's what it was, okay? And so he gets injured, and what does he do? They turn him into a cyborg. They make his body into a cyborg. Now, what else did we see about that? Let me show you something else about this. You know I don't like Hollywood, and that just reminded me of being a kid. But But here's how about this one? Does anybody remember this? Does anybody remember this one? RoboCop. Do you remember that? What'd they do with RoboCop? Well, he was gonna die, and he was mangled up, and he was paralyzed. So what'd they do to him? Aaron said he's gonna be Sod Spark. Oh no, not Sod Spark. But look, remember? I mean, I've grown up in the 80s. This is what they showed us all the time. RoboCop in the early 90s, I think it was, right? RoboCop. They turned him into RoboCop. That's what they're doing to him now. Right? Look, does he look that much different in that picture than that guy? Look at him. Look at it. Look at that. Look at his face. And look at that guy, what he's going to turn. We don't know what. Well, remember the beginning of that video? Remember the beginning of that video, what that guy's head looked like? It looked like that, didn't it? It did look like that, didn't it? His face looked like that. Tell me that's not weird. That guy was a real man, and they turned. So they've been predicted programming this for years, predictably programming this for years. Right? That they would merge the man in with the machine. That's what they would do. And that's what they did to him. See? That's what they're doing. They did it with that Spike kid on the original Transformers when I was a kid. They made him into a cyborg. How long has this stuff been taught? How long has it been going on? Another kind of show like that was Demolition Man. Demolition Man. You had what was his name? Wesley Snipes and Sylvester Stallone, right? And they both were put in this cryogenic freezing thing or whatever it was, and they were both frozen. And they were downloaded into their brain different things. They were frozen and they were brought back to life. And when they were brought back to life, they downloaded their brains. But the one guy they uploaded to his brain or downloaded to his brain how to be a fighter, a martial artist, an assassin, a killer. The other guy, they taught him how to like make flowers and do different weird stuff like that. So he had to fight the programming of his mind and defeat that guy while the other one was doing that. So, you know what I mean? So what do we have? We've got the same thing going on. Iron Man, that's another one. That's right, that's the most obvious one. That's the most obvious one. That's a costume. Oops. That's going to be gross when we talk about that. What did I do with that? Let's see here. You know I'm not going to get to half this stuff today. Well, I got plenty of time. If you guys want to hang out, I got plenty of time. No problem. Let's go here. All right. What's that storyline about, right? Here's a guy. He merges with the machine. He merged. There's another one. That's right, Carolyn. That goes way back. Here's, okay, so here's Iron Man, which, by the way, has been out for years. Let's go to all, and then let's go to, let's see when it was originally out. I'm just curious, because don't you find this interesting that all of these people, that all of these characters were doing the exact same, I mean, what they're, these comic book characters, what they were teaching kids. Let's see if I can do Iron Man comic. Maybe it's on here. What year was the first comic? There, look at this. Iron Man is a fictional hero appearing in American comic books published by Marvel Comics. The character was co-created by writer and editor Stan Lee, who I think had devils in him, developed by script Larry Lieber, and designed by artist. A wealthy American business magnate, playboy, and ingenious scientist, just like this guy, just like the terminally ill guy, right? I probably won't get to this one today. Let's see. I won't get to that one today. All right. Look at this. Suffers a severe chest injury during a kidnapping. When his captors attempt to force him to build a weapon of mass destruction, he instead creates a mechanized suit of armor to save his life and escape captivity. Later, Stark develops his suit, adding weapons and other technological devices he designed through his company, Stark Industries. He uses the suit in success versions to protect the world as Iron Man. Right. Iron Man was a vehicle for Stan Lee to explore Cold War themes, the role of American technology in fighting communism. So see, it always has a good sound to it, doesn't it? I do remember Ultraman, actually. Okay. So you have Iron Man, but how about this one? I grew up watching this one. This was the original $6 million man. And now, as bad as inflation is, it would be the $6 billion man. Why? Because inflation stinks. But remember this guy? Remember this guy? Some of you that are old enough to remember this guy? He could jump buildings. Yeah, Tanya, I'm glad I don't watch TV either. I used to watch all this stuff. I don't watch it now. I grew up watching it, though. And here it is. And now you're seeing it. Now you're seeing it. And then if that wasn't enough, feminism had to have his shot. And there had to be the Bionic Woman. So she could run and she could do all this stuff, and she got hurt, so she had to be the Bionic Woman, and she had to jump up all the way in the air and do everything the guy could do. Right? I don't miss TV either. Let's see. So, the agenda's been out there for a while. The agenda, it's the transformation, the merging, and do the scriptures speak of that? Yeah, they do, actually. In Daniel chapter 2. And Pastor Hoggard's talked about this, and some people don't like it. I'm going to tell you what. God leads Pastor Hoggard, I believe, to talk about some of these things before anybody else does. And it's hard for me to argue with it. Because we're seeing it now. Is it... And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. There's a merging there. And what are they trying to talk man into doing? The same thing. Now what are they doing? What are they doing? Well, this is what they're doing. Peter 2.0. He is Peter 2.0. Isn't that something? You know, we're seeing right now the merging of man. By the way, yeah, remember that movie Cyborg? There was another one, right? Cyborg. Now, I don't want to glorify movies, but the point is that all of these things were foretold about in the scriptures and in these movies and in these comic books. They were talking about it. That's right, Carolyn. That's exactly what they're doing. All right, let's finish reading this article about him. The scientist also has a remarkable top-end wheelchair, which is said on Twitter is brilliantly engineered and allows him to stand, lie flat, and go fast. Now, I'm sorry, but this is what this reminds me of. And I wasn't going to go there for any specific reason. Isn't his name Xavier? Isn't that his name? I forget his name. I don't watch those things. Let's see. What's his name? What's the guy? What's the... Yeah, it's Charles Xavier, isn't it? Professor X. That's him. Yeah. Here we go. This guy. He's in a wheelchair. He's in a wheelchair, and what does he do? He controls everything with what? With his mind. From that wheelchair. Okay? What is this guy going to do? Control everything with his eyelids and his mind from that wheelchair. Are you getting it? Is it making sense? That they're doing the same thing. They're doing the exact same thing as that guy, and they want you to do the same thing. He has undergone further, look at this. He has undergone further pioneering surgery in what he believes to be the first ever operation of its kind, to insert a feeding tube directly into his stomach, a catheter directly into his bladder, and a colostomy bag directly into his colon. These procedures will help him to deal with any potential feeding and toileting problems, helping him to maintain his independence. However, he stressed online that it is an incredibly risky procedure for somebody with MND. Despite the risks of operations and being terminally ill, Dr. Scott Morgan says he is not interested in how to survive his condition. He intends to thrive. So he will not look to the cross to be saved and born again. His life changed and then suffer some things in this flesh because this flesh is fallen. This flesh is broken. This flesh cannot be redeemed. This flesh one day will be made perfectly new, but he doesn't want to wait for that. He wants to live forever in this flesh. That's what he wants. And you and I, we need to understand that, you know, that's tested. Our faith is tested. It's tested. It just is, plain and simple. And it will continue to be tested. He remains positive and often humorous, seeing his situation as look at this. He created a remarkable like avatar of his face before he lost any muscle. Look at that. He remains positive and often humorous, seeing his situation as a chance to truly embrace scientific capabilities. So it's always science. I'm looking to science. No, look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Look to Christ and be saved in the Spirit. Be saved. This flesh is different than your spirit. Or than your body. This flesh is different than your body. I'm all over the board here. It is different than your spirit, yes, than your soul. This flesh is broken. And never do you realize the difference in the two. Never do you realize the difference in the two than when you go through something challenging in this life. Then you realize the stark difference. You realize the effects of the fall on your body when you wake up. Right? When you wake up, you realize the effects of the fall. How about on your mind? I realize it through anxiety and depression and things that I've been through. That's as a result of the fall. It's the effects of the fall on my mind. That's why I have to walk in the new man. And then I have to live for Christ every day. And I've got to renew the inner man every day by the word of God, by prayer, by supplication, by serving God, by giving my life to the Lord daily, a living sacrifice to be renewed in my mind daily, daily. And you have to do the same thing. We all have to. We all have to do the same thing. In fact, the Scott Morgan Foundation, which he set up with his husband, Francis, so he's a sodomite, seeks to use artificial intelligence, robotics, and other high technology systems to transform the lives of those restricted by age, ill health, disability, or other physical or mental disadvantages, you see? See? All of it. We want to transform the lives of those restricted by age. You can, isn't that what Satan wanted to do? Look at that. Whoops. I think Satan wanted to do the same thing, didn't he? Who's the author of this, do you believe? Well, I believe Satan is. What did he say? And the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." He appealed to her flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he appealed to all of it. That's what he did. And he got her to follow it. He tricked her. He deceived her. Satan will try to use your physical your infirmities against you. God will use your infirmities for his glory. Satan will try to use them against you. See the difference? Here's Satan using the infirmities of the flesh against this man to make him desire the transformation. You know, I'm going to change the title to this because it's really where we're at. And I don't think I'm going to get off this subject. I may get off of this this article, okay? But I don't think I'm going to get off this subject because the articles God is showing me here by way of these articles what he wants me to talk about, and that's the transformation, because that's what this is. That's what it's all about. It's transforming man in the flesh. You and I ought not desire too much as children of God to be free from all afflictions. We ought not desire that. But we ought to desire to be right with God. We ought to desire that Christ would be glorified in our lives. Paul said he learned to praise God through his infirmities. There's a temptation of the flesh. Listen to me, there's a temptation of the flesh. And that temptation is for us to despise the infirmities, despise the things that are wrong with us, and to sulk about them or to be sad about them, be they in the mind or in the body. And God wants us to glorify him in everything and to continue to serve him, be faithful to him. Why? Well, because temptations like this are going to come. They're going to come. The temptations, they're going to come to the people of God. And you and I have to trust the Lord that though we have infirmities in the flesh, God remains faithful and that we don't doubt him and that we look for a new heaven and a new earth, right? We look to the future. We look to our home in heaven. We look to be made new and perfect because we'll be like Jesus. There's going to be a translation that takes place for the children of God. Behold, I make all things new, said Jesus. That's coming. And let's see. Look at this. This is what awaits the children of God. Beloved, 1 John 3:2. Now are we the sons of God, comma, we are now, if you've repented and put your faith and trust in Christ, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, made new in Christ, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear yet. It hasn't manifested yet what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, Christ, our Lord and Savior, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is where we're headed as Christians. This is where we're headed as being born again by the Spirit of God. But what they're going to believe is in a different transformation. A transformation from Satan in the flesh, which is what Eve was offered in Genesis chapter 3. Look, you'll be gods, Eve. You'll be gods. And all you need is the gnosis. That's all you need, Eve, is the gnosis. You just need, and what do we live in a day and age of? Look at this. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Knowledge shall be increased. And that's what we have now. That knowledge, that desire for knowledge. Look, he wants to get on that computer, right? He wants to know everything. He wants to control everything. He wants the transformation. And he not only wants to transform himself, but he wants to be the prototype. Peter 2.0 wants to be the prototype to transform the lives of those restricted by age. Well, if you're restricted by age, listen, you don't have to grow old. Ye shall not die. Ye shall not die, right? That's just it. Ill health, we can fix it as gods. Disability? Oh, you're in a wheelchair? You're disabled? Let us fix it for you. Or other physical or mental disadvantages? Oh, you've got a mentally handicapped child? Well, we could fix it. We could fix your child. We'll fix their brain by hooking them up and to the computer. We'll rewrite their DNA. We'll fix their computer. We'll hook them up to the computer. We'll merge them together. That's what they're going to do. That's how it's going to be. On his website, Dr. Scott Morgan said this vision is far from just a dream. This vision is far from just a dream. Oh my. Do you see this? Look. Now, you saw the writing. But he's admitting it. He is admitting it. He said, this is far from just a dream. We are within touching distance of changing everything. Look. I'm not dying. I'm transforming. See it? I'm not dying. See, I'm transforming. But we are dying. We live in a tabernacle that's dying. You know, I want to find this guy. Let's see. See if we can find anything else on him. Let's see. See if we can find him. Here he is, right here. This is him. Did you see what his shirt said? Radical. Break the rules. Break the rules. A lifetime spent breaking the rules. Changing what it means to be human. Thought experiment. Oh my. He said, ye shall not surely die, right? That's what he's saying. Let's see. That explains his rebellion to God. He's a sodomite, so there's his rebellion to God. Changing what it means to be human. A bit of a rebel, pushing back, cheating death. Wow. Is that unbelievable or what? Felt like a suitable hobby for a scientist like me, he said, cheating death is. With an inevitable terminal disease, I invested the next year, half of my official time left on the planet, 7 days a week, kicking off the research on my own and publicizing what I was doing. A heroic multidisciplinary team in the NHS agreed to conduct a pioneering surgery on me. Wow. I'm trying to figure out what thought experiment is. I want to look at that real quick. See what that means. In the near future, maybe a year away, two tops, I just finished giving a speech in New York and I'm being interviewed one-on-one by a journalist. I've just shaken her hand. Meanwhile, I've just finished giving a simultaneous speech in Beijing, identical content, but in Chinese. I'm being introduced to the organizer of the conference who only speaks Chinese and I'm about to shake his hand. All the while, my biological brain is in turquoise. After all, Peter 1.0 couldn't pull off the same trick. Peter 2.0 can only do it because he's a lot more than just a biological body remotely controlling two doppelgangers. My voice and avatar personality that the New York journalist is experiencing are being generated in real time in New York. Nothing is originating from turquoise other than a few very high-level directions. No different than a remote movie director shouting action to a distant actor who is improvising. Exactly the same is true of Beijing, except that the machine translation is probably taking place somewhere in the cloud. Right? And I feel that I'm in both Beijing and New York. The one place I don't feel to be is turquoise. And the one place the people in Beijing and New York do not feel me to be is turquoise. Even if they know that my biological brain is there. The true answer is probably that as Peter 2.0, I will sometimes be in various places at once because different parts of my persona, which you will all identify as in their entirety being me, will be running in different places. On those occasions, I guess I'll be a distributed intelligence. Certainly, my biological brain will no longer define me any more than my crippled body, biological body will. This truly is MND with attitude. I'm not dying, I'm transforming. Think about it. The very fact that the solution to my thought experiment is not immediately and blatantly obvious is jaw-dropping. It signals a genuine paradigm shift. a paradigm shift in changing what it means to have MND. We can forever change what it means to be human. This isn't just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's never occurred in 13.8 billion years. Wow. Cyborg plumbing, keeping Vader alive. Verbal. Let's see what he says about keeping Vader alive. Let's see what he says about that. You know what a wonderful sound effect, Darth Vader breathing? That will be me. I too am going to have a vent pump breathing for me, except mine is going to be quieter than his. It's called cyborg rivalry. In the UK, the less than 1% of people with MND that survive longer than they can on a respirator mask have a tracheostomy, an operation that makes a hole direct in their windpipe, but then they're at risk of saliva getting into their lungs, what's called aspiration, and often they often end up dying of aspiration pneumonia. The cause of this comes across as sloppy engineering to me, not so much because of the tracheostomy procedure, but because of fundamental design fault in human anatomy. A fundamental design fault in human anatomy. God didn't make it right, is what he's saying. Well, evolution didn't, is what he's saying. Think about it. Air goes into one pipe, food goes out into another. We combine them together only to try to split them apart again a few centimeters later. And we wonder why things sometimes go down the wrong way. He's saying that God designed it wrong. Well, he's not saying that, but that's actually what he's saying. The more I considered the matter, the more I concluded I had little desire to die of aspiration pneumonia. So I persuaded a fourth farsighted NHS surgeon to agree to correct the anatomical design fault and completely separate the pipework to my lungs from the pipework connected to my mouth. Once we do that, it will be physically impossible for me to aspirate. The only major downside with that operation is it will require the removal of my voice box. On the day of the operation scheduled October 2019, 6 months away as I write this, Peter 1.0 truly will mouth his very last words. That's when I'm relying on the first research stream to be ready so that Peter 2.0 can seamlessly carry on talking. No pressure there then. So that's what he's going to do. Now that's what he's doing. Let's look at what he says about personality retention. In a similar vein, thank goodness we got moving on my building my avatar. I just don't agree with the established line that the worst thing that those of us with MND lose is our voice. It's worse than that. We lose our personality, our ability to light up when a friend walks in, a smile to reveal that what we just said was a joke, look concerned when someone else is telling us they've had a bad day. Part of my research dream into countering this was to swap my old analog face for a new digital one. Personality retention. Time is of the essence. My face is becoming emaciated and my facial muscles no longer quite do what they're told. No problem. Last year I went to Pinewood Studios and at the same special effects team working on the latest Star Wars scanned my head and motion captured my expressions. I've been future-proofed. My avatar is being built to far higher resolutions than a current off-the-shelf technology can run in real time. No problem, we'll build some kit that can cope. And just like my voice synthesizer, we'll link it to powerful AI that can restore my body language and external persona. This isn't a picture of me. It isn't even a picture. It's still of an early test of Peter 2.0 avatar. The hair's wrong, and we're really... You rarely use that expression, but key members of my Rebel Alliance, who coincidentally also worked on Star Wars, used pictures of me just before my first MND symptoms to rejuvenate my avatar by 3 years. Oh, and just to point out the obvious, my avatar will now never age. His avatar will never age. I've been on this a lot longer than I thought I was going to be. But I didn't realize there was so much about this guy. I didn't realize this is out there. The more I think about it, there are a lot of upsides to becoming a cyborg. And if it's having MND that gets me upgraded to Peter 2.0, then the implications of my diagnosis aren't all bad. Being diagnosed with MND is currently viewed as a death sentence. What if in the near future everything gets turned on its head? What if diagnosis has become a ticket to be upgraded to end up better in some ways than the original model? We are now only a year or two away from being able to pull off something revolutionary. All the technology will pretty well already exist in isolation. Within the existing membership of the think tank, we have the expertise to weave it all together, and our combined corporations have the power to make this happen. We are within touching distance of changing everything. I'm not dying, I'm transforming. This is terminal disease like you've never seen it before, and as far as I'm concerned, bring it on. Whoa. MND has even begun to bring me to my knees, and even long after I'm locked in, I will be standing tall. Thanks to high tech, I will talk again. We'll convey emotion and personality, and I'll reach out and touch the people I love, and I will not be the only one. Over time, more and more with MD, with extreme disability, with old age, with a passion simply to break free from their physical straitjacket, will choose to stand beside me. One day, I'm going to break from this physical straitjacket, and I'm going to go home to heaven. I'm going to go home. Right, Cindy. Psalm 2, 2 and 3. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And we will all stand tall, and we will stand proud. Oh, my goodness. This is them shaking their fist at God in heaven. And we will all stand tall, and we will stand proud, and we will stand unbowed, and we will keep standing year after year after year after year after year, because we refuse simply to stay alive. We choose to thrive. Wow. Wow. He talks about a partial exoskeleton. Anyway, so, and this is where it starts to get intriguing. Most people assume that self-evidently an exoskeleton's only purpose is to interact with the physical world, but in my case, it will serve an equally important second role. It will allow me to feel interactions in the virtual world. Because none of my voluntary muscles will work. My sensations when my exoskeleton moves my arms, experiences resistance, hits something, is weighed down, bounces back, are identical whichever reality I am in. So I may look like I'm just wearing an innoxious exoskeleton, but in truth I'm wearing the ultimate cyber suit that any futuristic VR gamer would trade a lifetime of credits for. Wow. Whether I'm escaping from a room by opening a door, by turning its handle, or coordinating movement between both my arms, or reaching out and touching someone I love, I will do them in all exactly the same way in cyber reality as in space-time reality. Both are my expanded reality. Holy buckets, is this dude getting creepy? This dude's got to have devils in him like you would not believe. Whoops. All right, stop doing that. Overview of 8 streams. I did that again. All access cyber pass. It's pretty obvious how the first stream acts like an amplifier. In essence, I envision seamless access to anything electronic with intuitive navigation across the whole of cyberspace. My tying into every sensory input device on Charlie, especially what we come up with from virtual liberation and partial exoskeleton research, I envision that increasingly boundaryless control over my world will feel like control over a massively extended body that substitute for my original, almost paralyzed body. Instead of interfacing with my environment, increasingly I will become my environment. Thanks to the plasticity of my brain, over time, cyberspace and any other physical world that accessible through cyberspace will feel like me sending an email or calling an elevator, just like raising a finger or raising an eyebrow used to be. It's not just that I will no longer feel trapped in a paralyzed body. I will no longer be a paralyzed body. My new body will be potentially extended everywhere across not just the physical universe, but also an infinite range of possible virtual universes as well. Of course, in my immediate environment, especially if it's very familiar, like home, I envision intuitive eye-driven control of everything I use to accomplish with my hands, such as controlling the TV and household appliances or calling the elevator and opening the doors. And I also envision Charlie saving me time by holding a three-way conversation in his own voice with both me and someone else. But naturally, because both Charlie and I will by this stage have full access to machine translation, there's absolutely no reason why any of these conversations can't be in Chinese, despite the fact that I don't know Chinese. Indeed, combined with our verbal spontaneity, and personality retention work, I envision Peter 2.0 holding a video Skype interview in Chinese and Japanese at the same time. Wow. So that's talking about personality retention, all access pass space-time. I really do think there's a massive amount we need to tackle head-on to obliterate the current huge barriers to disabled access. After all, it's a bit of insane that the main reason I won't be able to take a plane anywhere is that no airline will allow Charlie in the cabin, and his batteries would have to be disconnected if he was in the hold, and even if I could survive separation from my physical and mental life support system through a long-haul flight, based on current statistics, the chances are that Charlie would be damaged by the time he's returned to me. And will someone please explain to me, as a cyborg, would I have to be put into a flight mode? So yes, I would love to be able to easily navigate a typical hostile urban environment, accompany my family on a country walk, safely climb stairs, board a boat, traverse ice and snowy surfaces. But why should I straitjacket us by this specifying that my biological brain needs to risk coming along for the ride? Here's what I mean. I envision that eventually, whether I am in physical reality, enhanced reality, or virtual reality, I will feel as irrelevant as whether a movie I'm watching is in the cinema, live on TV, or downloaded to my laptop. All I care about is the experience of the movie. With my two all-access passes, physical reality and virtual reality, all I care about is the experience of reality. I'm perfectly happy that it's ambiguous reality. In my ambiguous reality, I can once again be hand in hand with Francis on a mountain peak, feel the summer evening breeze and setting on my face. But maybe I'm safely at our home in Turquoise and Francis is beside my backpack, Charlie, a doppelganger, that's creepy, that electronically relays me to the mountain peak and the mountain peak to me. Or maybe my physical body is there, but on a four-legged walking machine. Or maybe the walking machine is another form of a doppelganger and I'm in Turquoise. Or maybe Francis is using an ultra-portable relay that is primarily a drone that follows him at eye level and lets me feel as if I'm by his side. Or maybe we're both in Torquay. And while I tag this research stream space-time rather than physical, it's because otherwise, once again, it's too limiting. In my ambiguous reality, I envision having the power to go back in time. Maybe I was physically there the first time. Maybe I wasn't. But I can relive it just the same. Better than that, if I want to, I'll be able to improve upon the original, turn it into a best-off experience, rewrite history by cutting out the rubbish bits. What's more, if the first experience happened to be in VR, then just as Doctor Who encouraged me as a child, I'll be able to go back in time and change the outcome. So my ambiguous reality isn't just an unbounded blurring of physical and virtual, not just past and present, but alternative timelines as well. Yeah, that's spooky. That's real spooky. These guys have devils in them. Okay, this guy, he wants... He's going to change the world, he says. Right? Let's see here. There's going to be some weird stuff. To change the world, super cool technology alone is not enough. If we only come with brilliant ideas, we fail. If we only build amazing proofs of concepts, we fail. If we only make high tech available that people don't access, they don't want it, or aren't offered it, can't afford it, don't live enough long enough, we fail. If we forever change the world so that anyone, if they choose to, can thrive even with extreme disabilities, only then do we succeed. So in addition to devising jaw-dropping high tech, we also need to change attitudes. We need to view the research as part of a major change intervention, stimulate awareness via conventional media and social media, and as necessary, lobby governments and healthcare communities. To keep changing the world, those of us researching in this field must constantly regenerate. Look at that. Regenerate. And evolve what we do and how we do it, constantly pushing back the frontiers of what is possible, constantly at the cutting edge of applying high tech to MND, and extreme disability, constantly leveraging Moore's Law to translate research into user tools, constantly striving to deliver more and more support to everyone who dreams of breaking free from the straitjacket to find themselves in, if not now, when? If not us, who? As a schoolboy, I was told by a teacher who had a huge influence upon me, Peter, aim for the stars, at least you'll reach the moon. There's something you need to know about me. I have zero interest in exploring a gray rock. This is a voyage to the stars. The stars? What does that remind you of? Mind you, this. Let's see. He says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell into the sides of the pit. See, it's going to get ugly, friend. This stuff is. But it's the transformation. That's what it is. Is it interesting to you that he's a part? Is it interesting to you that this man is a part of the LGBTQ community? He's a part of the sod mob. Does that surprise you? Well, he's not the only one with the LGBTQ that's part of the transformation. Here's another push.
For the purpose, a hostile foreign government attacked our 2016
election. Oops, that's the wrong one, sorry. This one. This makes me mad.
And Lucia and his mom, Mimi, who's an advocate for transgender youth and active with the human rights campaign. Jacob is an...
Transgender youth. Okay, first of all, so this kid is like 9. What does this kid know about anything? What does this kid know about, and why is this kid doing this? Because they're pushing an agenda.
An elementary school student from Massachusetts likes to play hockey. Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
Man, that lady cannot help but act nerdy. All right, Jacob. Give me my biggest geeky white girl look. Jacob. All right. Sorry, I can't stand that lady. She's so fake.
My name is Jacob, and I'm a 9-year-old transgender American.
I'm a 9-year-old transgender American. What does a 9-year-old know about being transgender? Right? What does a 9-year-old know about that?
My question is...
All right, Jacob.
So they're clapping. All right, Jacob. Let's back up.
Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
Oh, I love that look she gives.
Mimi,
great. Watch this.
Who's an advocate for transgender youth and active with the Human Rights Campaign. Jacob is an...
So, wait, let me get this straight. You're his mom. You had a girl. What's the matter with you? You're like one of the most evil women in the world.
An elementary school student from Massachusetts likes to play hockey. Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
My name is Jacob, and I'm a 9-year-old transgender American.
You can tell that's a girl by the voice.
Question is...
All right, Jacob. Hold on.
What will you do in your first week as president to make sure that kids like me...
Look at his mom coaching him along. Her mom, sorry. It's a girl. Her mom coaching her along. It's so sick. It's just so absolutely disgusting. But this is the transformation. This is the same thing that you just saw with that man. Why the spirit is same. The spirit of sodomy. The spirit of rebellion. Break the rules. What's this? Break the rules. What does Satan do? Break the rules. What does he want you to do? Break the rules.
I feel safer in schools. And what do you think schools need to do better to make sure that I don't have to worry about anything but my homework?
Oh,
okay. So when I was a kid, people picked on me. You will never stop kids from picking on each other. It's part of life. Now, you do make sure it doesn't get out of hand. And you do instruct them and discipline them and correct them. But the fact that you think that this girl needs to be a special class because she woke up and all of her friends, that she woke up and she said she was a boy to people that have a sane smile on their face, right? Or a sane smile. I'm sorry, I was looking at that. That's funny. That all their friends are sane. And are like, what's wrong with you? Like, what do you mean you're a boy? What's your problem? You're not a boy. You're a girl. Everybody's picking on me. No, I don't think they're picking on you. I think your mom freaked you out.
Oh, I like that question, Jacob. We're going to do this.
We're going to do this. We're going to make the world as freaky as we possibly can. I mean, bring the freak show out and start the freak show young. Start them out young.
So let me start by saying I want to have a Secretary of Education who both believes in public education and believes in the value of every one of our kids and is willing to enforce our civil rights laws. It turns out that when the Department of Education was set up many years ago, the Secretary of Education was given a whole lot of power over the public schools and over the rules. And
why aren't transgender kids safe? I mean, where do you see transgender kids getting picked on? I don't see transgender kids getting picked on. I see Christian kids getting picked on. I see kids that don't want to join the freak show getting picked on.
How they're enforced. And we've had some secretaries of education who've been better, and we've had one that's been a whole lot worse. Her name is Betsy DeVos.
And I actually think she's actually better than, and I don't believe in women in authority. But if she's against this, I'm glad.
So when I'm president, she'll be gone. And here's my plan, Jacob. I'm going to find just the right Secretary of Education. But here,
if you don't think this is not predictive program, this is not programming, if you don't think that this is not setting people up, if you don't think they're using these kids as pawns, absolute stinking pawns in a game, these people are sick in the head. This woman right here, she is stinking sick in the brain. And this one is even sicker. And this child is a victim of a bunch of witches. And these guys have no spine, they have no testosterone, and they are the fruitiest, wimpiest men that I have ever seen.
Here's what I plan to do. I want to make sure that the person I think is the right Secretary of Education meets you and hears your story. And
is that not pandering? I want them to meet you. I don't even know you, but I want them to meet you. And then you, if you like them, then it's going to be good. Because guess what? You're 9. And I'm a nincompoop and a big fool. Because I'm going to leave a major decision for an entire nation up to a confused 9-year-old that witches have been playing with their mind. How insanely foolish is our country? How absolutely satanic is this? Do you see how absolutely stupid this is? Listen, hey, I'm going to give you something that's going to make a whole bunch of people mad. You ready for it? This is why women aren't supposed to be in authority. Right here. This is why women should be baking cookies. This is why they should not be in authority. This right here is the reason why they should never be in authority. Because that is the biggest bunch of emotional garbage and nonsense that has no practical application, that has no common sense at all to it. And that's what happens when you let women vote and you let them have authority. That's what happened. Children are their oppressors. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Need I say any more? Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Do you understand how absolutely retarded it is and how foolish it is to put women in authority? Because this is what you end up with. Every time it disintegrates into that bunch of nonsense. Every single time. That's what happens when you put women in authority. Clearly a pandering, emotional, stupid decision. Like, I'm going to look at my 9-year-old and I'm going to say, well, or my 8-year-old, well, Olivia, I think I'll leave the decision for your major life decisions up to you, Olivia. What do you think about doing this? Or Mandy, you're 10 years old. I think I'll leave the family's decisions up to you. How stupid is that? You know, I don't care if men are kowtowing to it. They're just as wrong. But you know what? I'm going to dig a little bit deeper. If you don't like it that I'm saying that women shouldn't be in charge, it's because your Jezebel's showing. And your horns are going to come up, and your little Jezebel's going to come out. And I really don't care if everybody stops listening to me. I am so sick and tired of men being pantywaist and wimps and not wanting to stand up to this stinking sod mob and this female fembot mob of women that want to run this nation and some little runt that's going to tell me how I'm supposed to lead. And if you don't like it, I don't care. it matters not. Because I know what God's word says, and that's exactly what it says. And when women have a problem with this, I'm going to tell you, I know what it is. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's their Jezebel. It's their Jezebel coming out. And you know what they want? They got a problem. They want this transformation. They want it. Because see, this is all part of it. Don't you get it? This is the rebellion. That's what it is. This is all the same thing as this is all the same thing as a transformation. It is the fundamental transformation of society, of the home, of the church, of the DNA. Men have to be men. They don't have a choice. What do you mean men won't lead? I know tons of men that lead. I got a whole church full of people of men that lead. They lead their families and their wives stay home. And what do? They cook, they clean, they take care of children, and they guide the home. That's what they do. I have a whole church full of men that do it. I can show you 10 of them that do it right now. 10, 12 of them that do it right now. I don't have to settle down. You settle down. Don't tell me to settle down. I ain't going to settle down. I'm fired up. You don't like it? Get off the channel. Go somewhere else. I ain't settling down for nobody. I don't have to settle down. What I have to do is tell the truth and tell you that this is all part of what you just saw there, and that's the reason why. And you know why you have a little bit of a problem with it? Because you don't like real men, that's why. Because you don't know how to get excited. I ain't no soy boy, okay? I ain't sucked on the soy. I still got testosterone. I'm still a man. So you settle down. Don't tell me to settle down, woman. I ain't going to settle down. You know what happens when women tell me to settle down? Not much.
Then I want you to tell me if you think that's the right person, and then we'll make the deal.
I want you to tell me if that's the right person. So I'm going to let a confused 9-year-old who don't even know that boys have stones and girls don't. I'm going to let him make the decision. Right? I'm going to let him make a decision. Do you see the insanity of this? Do you see the absolute insanity of this? But hey, don't get excited, right? I mean, what do you, preacher, what's your problem? I mean, seriously, you actually have emotion? You mean they didn't get to take the emotion chip out of you yet? You mean feminism hasn't kicked you hard enough that you're not staying down? Right? I mean, you're not ready to roll over for feminism? You actually want to be a man? You actually want to raise your voice? You actually get excited about stuff? I mean, seriously, who could even take this woman seriously? Look, I have a prediction to make, and if I'm wrong, I'll come back online and tell you that I'm wrong. Donald Trump is going to kill this woman in an election, okay? It's going to be a landslide. Absolute landslide. You know why? Because that was stupid, that's why. Okay. So there you go. There's the transformation politically there. Right before your eyes. Now, you think about this, because it gets weirder. Are you ready for it to get sicker? Okay. Here's another one. But before I go, now, before I get to that, hang on a second. Before I get to that, oh, preacher, what are you getting so excited about? Calm down. Okay, let's see. Okay, you ready? Let's see if this will, you know, maybe help your testosterone level for men actually go up and actually have a problem with it.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah, bud?
I think I got my period. Let me help you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Sorry.
Do you have a tampon? Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, I didn't know that was on there. We're done with that. Anyway, so, yeah. I didn't know that was on there. I apologize, the last part. But as you can see, that is what they're teaching children. Okay? That is what they're teaching children. Several TV networks have agreed to air an underwear commercial portraying a surreal world where men and boys menstruate. Okay. It's not possible. It isn't possible. Right? It's not possible. But what are they trying to do? They're trying to destroy manhood. They're trying to destroy manhood. What is that? It's the transformation. Do you get it? Still think I'm getting too excited? Still think I'm getting too excited? Titled Menstruation, the ad for period-proof underwear opens with an anguished young teenage boy. See, is anybody else a normal guy that wants to punch something right now? Does anybody else feel that way? Is there any guys out there that really just want to punch something for that right there? Like they just, like they want to punch something. Is it? Because I just want to punch something. When I see that, I just want to punch something. It ticks me off because they're using kids like this and they're messing with their minds. And I'm telling you, it makes me mad. Do you understand? It makes me mad. And I know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. I know it's a spiritual war. I know. But even Jesus got mad and cleared out the temple, right? This is God's creation. This is the way God made it. And here we have an absolute defiling. right? Absolute defiling. But, and not that I'm comparing myself to Christ in that sense, because Christ is perfect, and I have this flesh, so I'm not. But the point is, there's a time for anger. Paul got mad. There's a time that we do. You know what I mean? But it's just, I don't know, unbelievable. It says a dad later hugs him and tells him it's just part of growing up. Not for a boy! Not for a boy! Many of the 9 rapid-fire vignettes in the 1 minute, 20-second ad are jarring. A man rolls over in bed. I don't even want to talk about this. It's just stinking sick. I mean, give me a break, dude. I'm not gonna I wouldn't be walking through some business or some hallway or some airport. Do you have a tampon? Why would I have a tampon? And who would? It's such confusion and wickedness. It's so vile. It's just so absolutely vile. In our first national televised campaign, we are imagining the answer to this question. If all people had periods, including cisgender men, would they be normalized? Well, how is a period not normalized? The Bible's been talking about a woman's cycle for thousands of years. But guess what? It's proper for a lady to talk about that in a context with ladies in specific ways. We're not the same, and it's not right for us to go talking about that. We have no interest in that. A man has no interest in that, right? You bunch of psychopaths. Would everyone be more comfortable with periods if men had them? No! It'd be gross! That's what I'm saying. I've never seen two ladies walking around talking about that. No, I'll show you what that is. Here you go. Denoting or relating to a person whose sense of personal identity and gender corresponds with their birth sex. This newfound attention is the plight of black trans folks by primarily cisgender. So denoting, relating to a person, is a term for people whose gender identity matches the sex that they were assigned to at birth. What do you mean their gender identity? That's what they are! For example, someone who identifies as a woman and was assigned a female at birth is... Oh! Someone who identifies as a woman and was assigned female at birth is a cisgender. That's stupid. I know anybody who gets this is going to get a punch in the mouth. Right, I know. I mean, ladies talk about things in private. I don't want to know their conversations. And as a guy, I would not have that conversation with a man. Well, one, because I'm not gay and I'm not some stinking Fruit Loop. Okay, anyway. I don't know where that went, the cisgender lady thing. Oh, no, that's not it. I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, I had it somewhere. I lost it. Oh, this is it. Sorry. I think they're admitting this company. I think it will upset a few folks, a few people. Thinks Molin told Fast Company. That's okay, because part of being a brand that stands for something is sometimes you irritate people. Even if we're irritating them, our objective is to get them to think. It remains unclear whether the bloodstained sheets scene remains intact in the final version accepted by some of the networks. While the dangling tampon string and blood stain were problematic for network censors, the anguished teenage boy getting his first period evidently was not. Oh, my. Well, but what is that? Transformation. Transformation. That's what it is. Here's another one, but something to think about, okay? Female high school athlete speaks in front of Supreme Court about hopelessness of competing against biological males. Why try? Now, before we read this article, I want to stop here and say this. Here's the thing. This is what happens when you push equality. This is what happens when you want equality. Why do you have a problem with boys competing against you when girls want to join the Boy Scouts? Girls want to join the Boy Scouts, and when we had to have equality in everything. I mean, this is equality. This is where it ends up. A high school student, let me just put this on, I think it's this one. Female high school athlete speaks in front of Supreme Court about hopelessness. A high school student spoke at a protest in front of the Supreme Court on Tuesday as the court heard arguments about whether federal anti-discrimination laws should also apply to orientation and gender identity. Grace, a high school junior and avid soccer and softball player, said that she has seen firsthand how gender identity can intersect with sports when a transgender athlete played against her team. You make it to the field and you see a high school boy across from you, not as a coach, not as an assistant, but as a player. She said, it's confusing. Your entire team's focus and motivation is lost and defeated before you even start. Grace added that her team lost against a team with a biological male because of the boy's hitting ability, saying that her team's spirit of yes, we can was replaced by why try? She said that letting biological men play against women fails to provide an equal playing field. Grace added that women may lose out on sports scholarships to colleges if they have competed against men presenting as women. A recent study in Sweden that men transitioning to present as women still retain advantage over women even after a full year of hormone therapy. Well, of course they do. Right? Of course they do. Of course they have an advantage over them. They're men. Oh, here's another one. Here's another one. About the transformation. Elizabeth Warren releases LGBT rights plan Thursday, vowing to implement a prison policy that allows all male prisoners who identify as female to be placed in women's prisons. Oh, that's not dangerous at all. Criticizing the Trump administration's dangerous policy of putting all biological male prisoners in men's prisons, Warren said that her administration would permit prisoners to be assigned to a facility that corresponds with their gender identity rather than their sex. Under the plan, inmates would also be entitled to tax-funded gender transition surgeries. So So they're going to pay to have these people change their genders, attempt to change their genders. Right? That's what they're doing. So that's not going to happen, is it? I mean, women aren't going to get raped and pregnant over there. I mean, a dude's not going to be like, I'm a chick, so he can go over to the prison and he can sleep around with all the women in the prison. Because honestly, if I was a lost man, that's exact, and I had to go to prison, I'd be like, put me in the chick prison. That's what I'd be doing. As a lost man, if I was a lost man and I was going to prison, what guy wouldn't do that? Any guy would do that. That's not going to be trouble at all. See, this is what they're trying. This is the direction that they're going. Look at this. More on the transformation. Woman who identifies as a man loses lawsuit to be recognized as baby's father. Well, good. Formerly transgender woman launches advocacy network for detransitioners. Yeah, there's some that are fighting that transitionary stuff now, and they're starting to stand up against it and tell the truth about what it's doing. Remember, a few weeks ago, I reported to you guys about how 6,000 children have died over in England, over in the UK, and they've died from this transition medicine that they've been giving them, these hormones, these other things to make them different. Right? That's what the transformation is about. That's what it's all about. But is it any wonder that it's being pushed largely in the LGBTQ community? It's being pushed largely with those group of people. And they are going after the youth. They have gone after the children. You know, that's exactly what they're doing, sadly. So, you know, we're seeing in these end times, we're seeing that this transformation was talked about in the Bible. And children, they are using children to get whatever they want. Whatever they want to get accomplished, they're using children to do it. That's what's happening. Well, I suppose we could throw this in here for good measure. Swedish scientist floats eating human flesh as solution to global climate change reports.
Lash Paradise Mascara from L'Oreal Paris.
Ah, sorry,
the luxurious volume.
Intense
length.
Change that.
Feathery soft lashes. This
Nobody
is what paradise looks like. Lash Paradise Mascara from L'Oreal Paris. Take your lashes to paradise.
That's gay. vicious. So they're serious. They want to eat humans. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't realize that. Thanks for telling me that. This guy right here, you didn't miss much. I'm kind of glad you didn't see it. But anyway, this guy right here is talking about eating brain, or eating humans. Sonderland's argument for human cannibalism was front and center during a panel of talk called Can You Imagine Eating Human Flesh? At the Gastro Summit, reports the Epoch Times. Conservative taboos against cannibalism, he said, can change over time if people simply tried eating human flesh. Which means that guy's ate human flesh. That's what that means. No, that was a different one. The one you're talking about was the girl that came out with AOC. This article came out at the same time. But this one was serious and the other one was a joke with AOC at that event. It was a conservative think tank group. But this was not a part of that event. This was different. And it basically says, a tribe in Papua New Guinea practice eating their dead as an alternative to allowing them to be consumed by worms. According to the Standard, the cultural practice led to an epidemic of a disease called kuru, also known as laughing death. According to that, the disease is caused by an infectious protein found in contaminated human brain tissue. The practice of cannibalism among the people... Man, I gotta look that up. Kuru. Whoops. There we go. It's caused by an infectious protein found in contaminated human brains. Kuru is found among people from New Guinea who practice a form of cannibalism in which they ate the brains of dead people as part of the ritual. Let's see. Due to the body tremors that are classic symptoms of the disease, and kuru itself means trembling. It is also known as the laughing sickness due to the pathological bursts of laughter, which are symptoms of the disease. Holy buckets, you go insane. Basically, you go insane. If you eat those brains, you go insane. That's what happens to you. And you just laugh. It's a laughing disease. Oh, my goodness. Absolutely insane. Yeah, it's crazy. So, anyway, Hillary probably does have it. Anyway, so, oh, wow, weird stuff, right? All right, well, I guess, you know, we'll probably end it with that there. I've been on for 2 hours and 15 minutes, so we'll probably end it with that. But I don't know if anybody has any questions or anything else like that before we close, but I'll give you an opportunity. There's 87 people on. There's about 90 people on today, so that was good. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah, I don't. The kind of laughter they're doing is scary stuff. Yep, Perry has demons in her, that's for sure. Okay. So, let's see. We'll give you a few seconds here if anybody has anything they would like to ask or anything like that before I cut out of here for the weekend. And a busy day tomorrow. Let me show you here. This is where we'll be at tomorrow. So you pray for us. That's where we'll be. We'll be preaching outside of this event here tomorrow. And, yep, there'll be all kinds of crazy people and people that need to be saved by the grace of God. Yeah, I'll probably do more on AI and things like that in the future. I mean, I'm going to have to. It's, like, kind of part of everything for sure. So it's kind of part of it. But this is where we're preaching tomorrow night. It'll be a late night, so you pray for us. It'll be a cold night, so pray that we stay warm out there. Peter, that'd be good if you plant to see a church planted there in Florida. Now, Brother Ted Alexander is planting a church somewhere in Florida. I don't exactly know where that is. He said Man, this guy that keeps harassing me is just unbelievable. I'm going to see if I can get the police to do something about this guy. He just keeps... I suppose I can just block his number. That'll be fine. Some sodomite keeps, like, attacking me. Or he keeps sending me stuff. It's really sick. Do you think it's just the depravity of man that's leading men to accept all this loony nonsense, or do you think this could be the beginning of a strong delusion? Yeah, I think it is the beginning of strong delusion. Let's see. You know, I think it is the beginning of strong delusion. I absolutely do think that. And, anyway, so I do believe that's what it is. What do you think of Trump's rally? Well, I think that from what I understand, he said a lot of perverted things up there. I didn't listen to the speech. They're building up the angst against Trump and against everything else. So, I mean, it is building up to a, you know, coming to a fever pitch here with everything. They're trying to start this civil war type thing. And I think it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. They shouldn't have jumped on the cops the way they did, the people. There's a lot of instigators in that crowd that were trying to hurt people. But it's sad, really. It really is. Yeah, I didn't watch the speech. I wasn't gonna for any reason. But I was gonna watch a little bit of it, but I saw the highlights of what they were saying on Fox News about it, and I didn't listen to it, but I saw that he was gonna say some things that were kind of raunchy, so I was just like, nah. Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, so it's heading to be pretty bad, I'm sure. Gonna be pretty bad, I'm sure of that. As time goes by, that's going to heat up even more between Trump and whoever's running against him, and this angst and this hate that's out there is going to get worse too as well. So, yeah. But anyway, so I'm going to let you all go for the weekend here. What is the firmament to you? I don't want to get into that right now. But there's a lot of questions about from creation to the flat earth issues to the issues of geocentricity and all that. Those take a long time to deal with, kind of. So the issue of vaccines, sometime they're passing laws to force them. Yeah, vaccines. I might talk about that. You know, sometime in the future for sure. Yeah. Well, maybe not, but I don't want to deal with the flat earth issue. All right. Anyway, so let's see. I don't think there's anything else. Yep. God bless you all too. And hope you all have a good weekend. And we'll see you on Monday, Lord willing.